May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So you know that we have staff meetings on Tuesdays, and at staff, that's when we allocate who's preaching when. And when we were planning for December, Chad looks at the calendar, and then he says, every year it's the same for Advent. End of the world, John the Baptist, Song of Mary. And I laughed because in the end, first of all, every office, even if it's in a church, is just an office. Like, we're just trying to figure out who's the most sick of preaching John the Baptist. So that you can choose the end of the world. Great. But also, I thought, there's something amazing about this. Every single year, our new year, this is our new year in the church has begun today, begins with the end of the world, with an apocalyptic piece of writing. And that is so integrated into our life as a church that it's almost familiar to us. Like, oh, it's the end of the world, soon it's Christmas, it's all good. And maybe that attitude is exactly the one that we should be continuing to develop in ourselves. That we expect the end of the world, whether we prefer it or not. But particularly in this month, we get to practice experiencing the end of the world and all of the disruption and the sun and moon and stars and the roaring of the seas, and get to anticipate in really close order the celebration of the birth of Jesus and the entering of God into our time right with us. So we connect the end of the world and that kind of extreme distress with hope and anticipation, not for the distant future, but for a couple of weeks away. It's a wonderful practice of what we're told is true. So in common use, apocalypse has come to mean the same thing always as the end of the world, like a zombie apocalypse is the zombies eating all the world as we know it. You know what? I don't watch zombies. I don't really know what I'm talking about. But people who do, you know that sort of idea of apocalypse as total destruction of the existing earth. But what it means in Greek is revelation. So the end of the world is an opportunity for a revelation about the divine. A world racked by distress and fear, in our story, is revealing something specific to us, and that is the imminent presence of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my world will not pass away. My words will not pass away. Jesus reassures us today that God is bringing forth the world that's promised in all of the Gospels, but if we're sticking in Luke, a world where tears are wiped away and turned to laughter, and all hunger is satisfied, and all people in creation are valued, that justice is given to all of people in all creation. And Jesus reminds us that this is a thing that is happening, and all the distress and the sound and the fury is a sign that these things are coming to pass that God has promised, and not a sign that it's all just unraveling. The style of writing, this apocalyptic style of literature in the Jewish tradition, evolved from about 200 years before Jesus' birth or so through the period of about 100 years after. And life for the Jewish community during that whole period was extremely difficult. They were persecuted regularly. Jerusalem in its entirety was destroyed in the year 70, and this gospel was written sometime after that destruction. So the idea for the Jewish people, nothing felt stable, and they certainly were looking for a hope. Apocalyptic writing, like the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and then this piece of text, the little apocalypse in Luke, it tends to have wild imagery. It's very fantastical. It's beautiful to read, but very difficult to understand intellectually. It's easier to visualize as art, paintings, or dance, or something like that. But it also focuses apocalyptic writing on the idea of an end time, not the end of things, but the fulfillment of a purpose. So the overall arc is that all of the chaos and the noise and the new things we've never seen before are coming to a specific destination. And in our tradition, that specific end is for the Jewish people, for wholeness and an ability to live and worship in peace. And for all of us, having inherited that tradition, that same place of healing and peace and just undiluted presence with God. This kind of storytelling was used to help make sense of how we can live in a world hoping and knowing that God is present, and also that evil persists and that struggle is ongoing. And it was also a way to validate the hope that continued to be on fire in the Jewish people. Really, this whole story should have been snuffed out centuries ago because it is met with so much resistance. And the Jewish people were constantly being persecuted and separated and scattered. But this story, and then through that, the story that we've inherited, it persists no matter what. And so apocalyptic writing validates your hope. And that sense, Jesus talks about, if you see little buds on a branch, the fig leaf branch, you are right to think that new life is coming there. And if you see small signs of divine presence and small signs of hope, you're not deluding yourself. God really is present, no matter how crazy things are looking on the outside. It's an affirmation. So part of the revelation is that distress and struggle is not a true competitor of God. No amount of upheaval is going to defeat God or mute God or push God back. Instead, it is a sign and a reminder that God is close and is closing in all the time. One thing in our lectionary, it presents sort of a chicken and egg situation. So today, on day one of Advent, we hear the story that God is faithful and entering the world and will be present. And the way we hear the story is from the God who has entered the world, Jesus, and is present, and in this story is literally standing right there next to you, telling you God is coming to enter the world. And during Advent, the incarnation we're anticipating is that incarnation of Jesus being born. But the way we hear that story is from Jesus already in the world telling us the story. That's just in the timing of our Advent lectionary. So that presents that maybe the revelation is that God was never not there. God is always present. And sometimes when God feels far away, what we have is the story to carry us forward. Jesus also says something surprising in today's text. Jesus says, in every generation, we will experience this coming to the end place and coming into the fullness of time. In the story of Israel, it's clear that the generation, like the generation that leaves in Exodus, is not the same generation that will enter the promised land. Time passes, and that takes a series of lifetimes to get into the new place. What Jesus is saying is every single generation has opportunity to have this experience of the kingdom of God. And for Luke, the kingdom of God isn't something far away or elsewhere. There's a real immediate presence and possibility of kingdom like in our lifetime, right now, in our bodies on this side of death. And Jesus assures us that we have that opportunity to experience this fullness and peace with God in our own generation, just as the next generation will and the generation behind us. It's an eternal present with God. So coming back to that idea of the familiarity of an apocalypse, that we can look at it in the face every year, maybe that revelation of little buds of goodness and new life and hope, even in the midst of all sorts of roaring and fury, maybe that feels familiar because we've all experienced that. We already know it to be true if you've lived any length of time, and it is true of children, it's true of adults, that experience of everything being disrupted and torn apart, but you get little buds of hope, even if that doesn't make intellectual sense to you. And it will be different for every person. So I started to think there's a million stories I could tell of people having those sorts of apocalyptic experiences and then the revelation that they bring with them forward from those experiences and even the new life on the far side. But I don't want to tell you a story about someone else. What I hope you will give to yourselves today or sometime this week is tell yourself your own story, the story that you've already experienced at least once in your lifetime. You tell yourself the story of your own apocalypse and what it revealed to you. And if you've had new life on the back end of it, tell yourself that story too. Spiritual education, for the most part, is remembering what we already know in our hearts to be true. And when you have hold of your own story of loss and revelation, when you're strong in that story, what do Jesus' words at the end of our text today, how do those sound? Where he's saying to be on guard and to be alert, to be ready for this immediate presence of God in our lives. It might be more a reminder that disruption is unavoidable, and we all already know that. Suffering and loss cannot be, it's part of the human condition, we're all going to encounter it. Maybe Jesus is inviting us just to not hide from it and not be numb to it, but to be present. And if you can tolerate the suffering, you won't miss seeing the little buds on the tree. You won't miss seeing the little signs that God remains with you and loves you and desires wholeness and life for you, and you are being moved toward that end, even if it doesn't feel that way in the moment. Maybe it's a way to just give us permission to be present in every moment to what God is doing with us in that moment. For the times that God feels far away, God gave us the story of God's presence in this world. So give yourself the gift of telling yourself your own story of God's presence and revelation, apocalypse, in your own world. And let that be your very first gift of this season. Amen.